Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, wherever you are and wherever you're listening to this on the replay line or from the archives or reading the transcript. This is the Monday Night Win-Free BBS Radio Internet Show. It's a simulcast, so he's out rounding up people on the conference line. We have people from all over the world on the conference line, and people listening to BBS radio all over the world. They have an archives for those that have never used it. You can subscribe to BBS radio, and you can go on the archives, and you can hear the audios from all of the back shows that WinFree has done. My name is Terry Brown, and I'm the co-host of the show. Win, are you here?
Now, just a second. Don't say anything. I'm here, and everyone's listening to you.
Breathing in the mic, Win.
And I'm breathing into the mic. At least I'm breathing.
Yes, I'm
glad
to hear you.
Please enter your PIN, followed by pound. Please wait. This conference is being recorded.
Okay, this is Monday, November 14th, Wynn and Terry in Sedona, and our conference call. And Terry has been bitching at me today. She says, we always start the recording, and we never hear her introduction on BBS. So, Terry?
However, it's recorded on BBS. People can go to BBS and hear right from the start of the show on the archives.
If you'd like to hear Terry's introductions, you have to go to BBS. But now we're recording. You know, we record two ways. We record on the conference calls and we record on BBS. So now we're recording on the conference call. So, Terry, would you like to continue your introduction?
Well, Wynn chooses the topics, and he has very unique and interesting topics. And I almost never know what the topics are beforehand, but tonight I read my email, and it said the topic was on persistence, and I'm sure that that's only a part of the topic.
Thank you. Now, you know, the reason Terry doesn't read her emails is because on these calls, she has voices speaking to us through her. And the voices, most of you who are regulars, are aware that we have sources that claim to be at the beginning of the universe, and they talk through Terry. And some of you are aware, but if you're not, when this was all occurring for me initially, it was about 3 years that I said, I think they really are who they say they are, or they might be. I mean, would you believe it? You know, you have a friend that kind of hits you on the shoulder and says, those guys want to talk to you. And his voice comes through and says, they created the universe. It wasn't quite that way, that, you know, clipped. But nonetheless, they're answering questions about all these profound things. And one of the things that really was probably, there were a number of things that led me to believe that they were who they said they were. And one of them had to do with Terry, because I asked in one of the sessions, was Terry ever anybody famous? And they said, look up St. Catherine of Siena, who was a Catholic saint. And I Googled St. Catherine of Siena. I never heard of her. And I ended up reading the story of this young woman in Siena, Italy, that would go down to the local church and they would ask her questions, and she would answer questions, or she would just come up with saying things, and they wrote everything down. She had scribes following her around because they thought God was speaking to them through her. And there was this book called St. Catherine's Dialogues with God, which are still available on Amazon, which are officially sanctioned by the Catholic Church. And Terry was the spitting image of St. Catherine. So I did put up a web page on that. If you've never looked in the web page, hang on a second. Let me make background noise here.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
If you've never looked up the web page, I think it's called catherine.messageaday.net or St. Catherine.
St. Catherine.messageaday.net.
.messageaday.net. Then you can see the picture comparisons, and there's even a free download of St. Catherine's Dialogues with God. And when you read that book, which I had to read it or read a good portion of it just to see if it all made sense. Like, was I talking to the same source that was talking through St. Catherine? And the immediate thing I noticed when I studied St. Catherine was that it did refer to Christianity in a somewhat conventional way. But I think it had to do that in order to get in the door of the church. But in between the referring of to Christianity in a conventional way, there was this great wisdom. And the wisdom was much larger than you would find in a conventional Catholic Christian. And I'm going to get in trouble for saying that. Let me say what I mean by that. And that is that wisdom is something that comes from experience. It doesn't come from quoting a book. Even if the book is the Bible, there may be wisdom in the Bible, but for someone to have wisdom in this realm, they need certain kinds of experience that lead to wisdom. Because wisdom demonstrates a true empathy and compassion for life. And oftentimes, religious people can have an empathy and compassion for life, but they don't often understand it at a nitty-gritty level. They're kind of insulated oftentimes. That doesn't mean necessarily so. So what I noticed in the St. Catherine book was an immense wisdom and understanding at a very high level. And so it was kind of a bit of a shocker because suddenly what I was seeing was a track record that very few people, if anyone, have ever gotten the chance to look at look at these sources who have been interacting with this realm, our realm, for thousands and thousands of years, and getting an inner view of how they interacted with us. And over time, and getting a kind of validation that it was true. Because Terry was only one incident. Of course, there was the David Wilcox story, also interacting with one of these group souls. There was the Carla Ruckert story, also interacting with one of these group souls. There was the Akhenaten story, also interacting with one of these group souls. And there was a pattern. And the pattern was becoming pretty obvious to me that what their agenda was not to create fanatical believers, but to create people that had an experience of connecting with their energies. And that within the context of connecting with their energies, there was an opportunity for a being to have a certain kind of personal evolution, a DNA acceleration, an opportunity for people to come together in this realm in a higher state of love. And that it seems like those same sources are using this circumstance that we're doing here as an opportunity to create that in this time period. So this is something you all have to watch carefully and see if it's not something you can agree to the first time you get exposed to this. It's too big. It's like you have to look at the things I've looked at, read the books. We talk about it all the time, but not to believe things just because we say them, but because you see the pattern for yourself. But if you want to see the pattern, you have to pay attention for a while. It's not a snap decision. It's not like being a quick convert to a point of view. Because you see, even if there are different ways of explaining the universe and different models of it, and of course, people vie for the correct explanation. There's thousands or more books of people, philosophers, theologians, Buddhists, whatever, making their point as to how the universe works. And on one hand, this could be another point. The problem is, it's not based on, it's based somewhat on research, but it's also based on direct communication, being able to ask questions. And if you are paying attention to us, then I say this over and over again, and I mean it. I don't want you to believe what we say. You see, even if we have it right, even if we have the cosmology that is an overview cosmology for the workings of the universe and the workings of how God works and many, many other questions answered, even if it's correct, if you just believed it and say, Wynn's got all the answers, this is correct, you are falling into the trap of every other doctrine of anyone that's ever done that and had a point of view that wrote books about it, because that does not change life. It doesn't even change you. At one point in my life, I had the idea that if I could find the right thing to believe in, then my life would be set, because I didn't know what to believe in. And now I've learned that believing in anything and thinking that you're anywhere is something that can prevent you from experiencing something and knowing it. So the goal is to have an experience and to know. And if you're going to believe something, have the belief come from due diligence, through study, through applying yourself, through checking it out, through challenging it, and coming to a conclusion that's based on the best use of your logical mind, okay? Because just having a belief says one says this, or the Elohim says that, and saying, you know, now I know what's true, doesn't get you very far. Because are you feeling the connection with the energy? Are you able to demonstrate love in your life? And I don't mean emotional love. I mean unconditional love, spiritual love. And that is not necessarily wearing your heart on your sleeve. And it doesn't even mean necessarily being a nice guy all the time. Although that helps. It's good to be a nice person. It's good to be considerate of other people. But unconditional love is far beyond that. And the topic we picked for tonight was persistence. And I don't know why I picked that. I don't know why I picked any of these things. I try to tune in on the energy of our group and see what comes up as being relevant. Well, before I go full blast into the topic, there were a couple of people that checked in, and I'll open the lines a second and let them say hello, okay? And if anyone has a question about persistence and how it impacted them in their life, their lack of it or their use of it to come to a conclusion, then we'll give people a chance to share that. But let me see who's new on the line first.
All callers are muted. All callers are unmuted.
Okay, everybody's unmuted. Anybody want to say hello in their name?
Hello,
Leah. Oh, I got everybody at once. Let's see, did I hear?
All together now.
Just because we're having a group consciousness doesn't mean you can all talk at once. Unless you're harmonizing. So let me see, did I hear Lisa in San Francisco?
Yes, you did.
Did I hear Colleen in Vancouver? No. Okay, let's see. Anyone else in California? Who is that?
It's Kim in Sarasota.
Wait a second. Karen?
Kim.
Oh, Kim. Kim in Florida.
Honey, let me give me some.
I see. This is
Hi, this is Edna.
Miss Edna and Kim in Florida.
Hello. And Mary Lou in Knoxville.
Mary Lou in Knoxville. Mary Lou?
Yes.
Hi, Mary Lou.
Hi, Wynn. How are you?
You're becoming somewhat of a regular, yes?
Well, this is my first time on the conference call, but I've emailed you some and everything. I've tried to get into everything. It's wonderful.
Well, thank you so much. And let me see. There was someone else there. There was
Raleigh. Hi.
Oh, Raleigh. Raleigh in Fallbrook. Okay.
Correct.
Did they name Fallbrook because all the brooks are falling?
Couldn't tell you.
You don't know the history, huh? Okay. Anyone else on the line?
Yeah. Hi. It's Beth from El Segundo.
Beth. Oh, it's so nice to hear you again.
It's really nice to talk to you too, Wynn. Thanks.
Did my topic get you tonight?
Yes, it did. Absolutely. Yep. Sure did.
You see that?
Everything happens for a reason, and that persistence is a big keynote of my life right now. Just keeping on, you know.
Yeah. I'll ask you about it in a moment. But let's see. We were in the airport, you know, and I actually was hoping, you probably didn't even know I was there, but I was
no,
at the conscious.
No, I didn't. Bummer, I'm five minutes away.
Yeah, I was at the Conscious Life Expo. It was the Hilton. You did know.
Yep.
Okay, because I did
send
notice.
I did.
So.
Sorry. Didn't make it. I'm sorry. But I thought of you. I was excited that you guys were here.
I know El Segundo quite well, you know, more than you would know. years ago.
Yeah, you used to come in and play at the fairs or something, didn't you?
Well, actually, you know that army base in El Segundo?
Yeah, I do. Yep.
We used to sell things there.
Oh, that must have been interesting.
Uh-huh. That was interesting. You know, there was a lot of senior citizens, and we were selling these little massagers.
Oh, wow.
So
wow.
We would just stand there and massage everybody.
See, I bet they were happy. I can see
They were happy. You can see I'm a real wanderer. I can't.
Yeah. I know you go where you're needed.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if I go where I'm needed. I think I'm more needed than places that I go, but they don't know that I'm here.
Or you create a need wherever you go. That's another good thing to do, I guess.
I have to think about that. I don't like to agree to too much, you know.
Sure.
It gets me trapped. But you see,
you need it, don't sell yourself short.
Well,
exactly.
Who said that? Was that Mary Lou?
Yes.
Mary Lou. Thank you, Mary Lou.
Well,
but you're
welcome.
What?
It's true.
You're needed, too.
I hope so.
Yeah, well, you know what? Everyone has more potential, I believe, I'm sure of this, than they own up to. And probably fear. It's like, you know, I think the fact that I'm doing this now, and I don't even think I'm doing that much. I think, you know, I should have thousands of people on this line, and I'm saying, what am I not doing to bring thousands of people online? Because, you see, I figured it out that if something's going to happen, ultimately I'm responsible for it to happen. I think, you know, I think in terms of synchronicities. So I think, well, this magic person is going to come along, or somebody's going to give a bunch of money, or somebody's going to know Oprah, and Oprah's going to flip out over this, or... And it doesn't happen. Mm. And I say, why isn't it happening? Now, one of the reasons is because I have to cope with the world. I have to make sure everything flows financially, which is not my best role, but I'm doing it. And I have to be able to go where I need to go to make something happen. You know, I do know how that works. I've had so many synchronicities in my life, and I know the state of mind that I go into that brings that in. And I know that if I direct energy towards something, but I have to direct it long enough till it happens. I can't just go out one day and say it's going to happen today. I have to hold the thought of something until it happens. And if I didn't do that, I wouldn't be here now. Believe me. I mean, it took for a few years, I was saying, I know this is important. How do I do this? What do I do? And I tried different things. And this worked, and this worked, and this didn't work, and this worked, and I'll go more in the direction of what seems to be working. Somebody's leaving. I better. So I could feel rejected.
Entry and exit times are off.
But, you know, I'm really, I don't think I've ever learned about persistence as much as I have in getting this work to the place that it's at, which isn't even a big place. But it's grounded. It's, you know what? There's a bunch of people that believe that it's real, which I didn't know that would happen. I, you know, it's like I remember when I was in L.A., I had a friend, Sam, that I've known for years. And Sam is kind of Jewish. And he's not religious. He's New Age, but he's definitely comes from a Jewish background. And when I first started talking, you know, the Elohim is the word for God in the Old Testament. And so when I was talking to the Elohim through Daphne. I remember calling Sam up and saying, Sam, I got to tell you, I'm talking to the Elohim. I mean, they're talking to me through my girlfriend. And, you know, I thought he'd have a genuine sense of, wow, I remember. I hope he's not listening. Sam, I love you. This is just what happened. It's just history. He said, Mazel Tov. Do you know what Mazel Tov means? It means congratulations. It's what you would tell somebody when they graduated high school. Like, I had an accomplishment because I was talking to the Elohim. So he wasn't curious about what they were saying or how it came about. It was just a point of being recognized. And a lot of people see things in terms of recognition. Some of you, even, if you look at it, you'll see that you gauge a lot of things. Hello? We have an echo there. Did somebody say gauge, or was I echoing? Oh, well. By recognition. And I've done the same thing. When everybody's heard about something and everyone's talking about it, it's recognized. And it has now an energy that's kind of planted into the world. And you think of that as something special. You think of them as being famous. And then you have a hard time talking to them because you think they're different from you, or they're better than you, or that they wouldn't be interested in you. And so you separate yourself from things that are recognized. But you might be learning even though you're separating. It might be somebody that has wisdom to impart. So I've watched that in myself. I remember when I was young, not that I'm not still young, but when I was younger, and I listened to a lot of music, I loved discovering somebody that was not discovered yet, and that I was really endeared to them. But once somebody was discovered and got famous, even though they were really talented, it was harder for me to be interested in paying a lot of attention to them. I won't say that never occurred, but I watched the pattern that I liked discovering something that was still under the covers, so to speak. And I think on some level, I understood that my energy was going to help that thing get discovered. It was using me more. It needed me more. You're needed. You guys are needed here because you're there, you really increase the chance of this being discovered. Because somebody can look at it and they can see, look at the people being impacted. Look how it's influencing people. Terry, I'm not letting, I started out saying, talking about you, talking about St. Catherine, and then I dropped it. So I wanted to give you a chance to make any comments, if you have some.
Oh, I just,
All right, thank you very much.
Terry, I love you. I love you too, Ben.
Thank you. Terry?
Yeah.
You're not getting shy, are you?
You caught me unprepared there.
I did?
Yeah.
Well, that's the best time.
Well,
see, there's no room to try to figure out how to be safe. And then,
there you are.
And somebody is going to play music behind us today. Bruce, now I'm leaving. All the mics are still open, so you guys got to be good, okay?
Okay.
Now, does that make sense, what I just said? Like, is that new, a new way of looking at things when I talk about recognition in that way and the way things get created through group consciousness and how important you are to be grounding the energy of this because you're making it real, you know? It's like if a tree falls in the woods, there was that famous thing was, does it really make any sound if no one ever listens, okay? So who would like to say anything about anything?
Wynn, I love you and Terry. Thank you for everything you do.
Oh, thank you so much. That's Mary Lou, right?
Yes.
Well, Mary Lou, we love you too. And it's great that you're on this line. I can feel your energy. And I guess I thought I knew you because I was answering some of your emails. And, of course, anyone else want to say anything besides that they love us? Okay, you can say that if you want. But don't make it too mushy. I'm not.
if you just asked if it made sense what you all had said, and what I wanted to say is what you said sounded beautiful, but I can't remember what you said.
You can't. Well, that's how I know I'm on target, because I can't remember what I said either. You know, I am sure that whatever I say, I mean, I know there's, you know, we're talking about wisdom. I know that in this lifetime, I certainly would say that I've gathered wisdom. I gathered wisdom because I lived in so many different ways and so many different hats. And I wanted to learn about life. And I'm not, like, thirsting to learn about things because I think I got a Ph.D. But it wasn't easy. I wouldn't, you know, I can't even tell you. And sometimes I'm not sure I would have survived. In fact, I'm not sure if it wasn't for Terry that I would have survived because this stuff was so far out. And, I mean, you know, I explained that my friend's comment was Mazel Tov, and the other comment would be like, you know, like, what is this? The first thing that happens is you have this kind of experience. You have this kind of experience of talking to other realms, and you want to share it with people that are your friends. And, you know, you talk to them, and then suddenly you don't hear from them for about a year. And they call you up and say, are you still doing that crazy thing you were telling me about? You know, now, that's perseverance, to hold to something when that's going on, because that's not rewarding to have all the people you thought were friends thinking you're crazy, okay, or thinking that you're nuts. Some of you know the experience because you've gotten excited about this work and you've talked about it to someone else. And they thought you were nuts. Did anyone have that experience on the line?
And the other comment would be like, you know, like, what is this? The first thing that happens is you have this kind of experience. You have this kind of experience of talking to other realms. And you want to share it with people.
Wynn, I can't hear you.
I'm trying to listen to whoever's talking in the background.
Yeah.
That's not, is that me?
That's who in the background?
That's the PC, the internet.
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
Okay, I muted everything. I didn't know that was me. I said, who is that guy? That's how forgetful I can be.
Mazel tov. Yeah, I heard you say mazel tov. So it was repeating what you said before.
Okay, so it's delayed on the radio. I know someone was making a comment in the background, and I said, that's interesting. Where is he going with that?
Now you caught up with yourself.
I caught up with myself. which self have I caught up with? So Do you guys want to share anything? Are you guys, now, you know, when I say share something, there's a really good chance to see if you'll look good. And if you're scared of looking good or not looking good, you'll be scared to say something, okay? because the problem with public speaking is that you have loads of people listening to it. So however you look, you've made a big imprint. You've got hundreds of people saying, I heard her, and she really sounded dumb. And now, Terry?
Yeah.
How did it feel to have hundreds of people hear you stumble?
Well, you know, if you look at it, you know, 100 years from now, it won't make any difference at all.
Somebody might have the tapes.
Right.
I'll tell you. My point of view is, if we can look at it 100 years from now, I'm going to say, thank God for the human race lasting that long. Because our goal here, our first goal is to graduate this realm. And our second goal is to see if we can have the human race endure in a more positive way. Because the first one, you can definitely succeed in. But the second one, you need a lot of other people on the same page to succeed. Did you guys ever think of that? Are people still muted? No one is talking to
her. But when, if you go to the next realm, or
hang on. Let me unmute everybody.
All callers are muted.
If you've got your internet on and your phone on both, could you walk away from the internet so I don't have to hear myself twice?
All callers are unmuted.
Oh, good. Okay. Everyone's unmuted, except for the ones that have muted yourself. What were you saying, guys?
Now, you say that humanity, I do hear the internet, but, I mean, once we get to the next level, then things will be a lot better. I don't think there will be, you will need to worry about humanity, you know, but how did you just say it, that we will do things okay?
Mm-hmm. I've got a feeling, Heis, that what's going to happen, there's going to be a bunch of souls going to the hell planet, and they're going to be there for thousands of years, hundreds of thousands of years, and then there's going to be some older souls that say, if we don't incarnate on that planet, they're just going to be under the spell of the negative forever. And those older souls will probably be us.
You're telling me we have to prepare us, those who ascend, to go to the hell planet after a while.
Come
on, man.
Do you think we're all going to be going la-di-da in some other realm singing Christmas hymns? And why does the Ra group call themselves, through Carla Rucker, the something of sorrow, okay? Because they're the graduates, and they're hanging in to help realms like ours, okay?
Yeah.
And their greatest, as I get it, their greatest reason to exist is to help those that are still struggling. And they said if they didn't have a group soul helping them when they were struggling, they would have never graduated. Okay?
Right. It's actually true right now with Daphne being here. I mean, she's mm-hmm. also from to my understanding, a way higher.
Oh, yeah. And it's like you come here and you choose to come back, and sometimes and you get here and you forget everything, and then you need a crazy bunch of circumstances and synchronicities to wake yourself up. And yet, many of you on this line probably went through that. That is persistence to the nth degree, right? I mean, Terry says that she remembers, I mean, I said this story, she remembers when, I don't remember this, and she could be crazy, so this may not be true, but she remembers when we were not in this realm, and the realm was being created, or at the beginning stages of it, which could have been God knows, you know, how much into it, and that I jumped into it, and I disappeared, and she expected me to come back, and I didn't come back. And she said, I wonder what happened to him. I better go and get him. So that was a few million years ago.
More than that.
More than that.
Hey, Wynn.
Yeah.
I'll volunteer for the hell planet as long as I can turn water into wine at that point.
Well, the problem is that if you turn water into wine, keep in mind that the Ra Group has said through Carla Ruckert, and this makes sense to me, that they have found that doing miracles was not the best way to work with this realm. That doing miracles caused blind followers.
Yeah.
And that by causing people to reach back, you created group energy. But doing miracles creates blind followers. I mean, I still get emails from people that say, tell the Elohim to heal this or heal that. And they think that there's a divine dispensation. And in watching these calls, we have had miracles. Well, I just assume not take any credit for any miracle and say it's just happening. And that keeps me more human, okay? The last thing I would like is a bunch of people who are blind followers. And that scared me when I started doing this because I said, how do I do this? How do I do this? How do I do this? And I really didn't know. Anyone else want to say something about perseverance?
Yes, this is Edna. I would like to share something. I started to follow this group two and a half years ago. And when I started, I really felt that something was there, and I was looking for, and I didn't know what. And I really wanted to feel the energy. And of course, it was not easy, and I couldn't, but I knew that I just had to insist. So I had to persist for a while, and I finally felt it. I started to pay attention to my body, started to pay attention to my mind, the crown chakras, and all my chakras, and I started to feel it. And but again, some people think that it's come right away. You have to adapt yourself. You have to get tuned into the energy, and that was with persistence, that's the way I got it.
They couldn't handle it if it came right away. They couldn't handle it in an ordinary way. They'd start to think, this has happened occasionally in the groups. I hope they're, are they on the line now? sometimes somebody says, I got it. I'm enlightened. What do I do now? I can feel the energy. I can feel the energy. And you know what? And then you think.
And there it goes.
There it goes. It comes and goes. Comes and goes. And you have to take it in an ordinary way. The more ordinary you can be, that means your ego's out of the way. It's just happening. You're not doing it. I mean, I do something. You know what I do? And what Terry does? We show up. And I think showing up is one of the greatest aspects of persistence. Showing up. When you want something, show up. When you want a job, show up. Don't make two calls and feel like, oh, there's no work. You know, there's a thing of every time you show up, you are making a dent in all your resistance patterns. Those of
Wait,
you that
I have to share something.
Who is that?
It's Kim.
Kim, let's go ahead, Kim. Yes.
I have to say something on the lines of what you're saying. I just started a business here, and I don't have any clients right now, but I mm-hmm. go there every single day, and I just go there and sit.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel as though I am putting my energy there. And today, after, 2 weeks, someone mm-hmm. came by and was looking for a treatment.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll happen if you're persistent.
the very first time that somebody does something like that, it's like a huge dam has broken energetically, do you know? And sometimes you have to work really hard to get that first thing to happen. And then the second one, and the third. And, you know, one thing, Kim, and I'll say this to anyone else that's listening, when you're doing a business and you don't seem to be getting much business, run a sale. Run an incredible sale that no one can say no to. But just put a time limit on the sale. Like if you were doing massage therapy, obviously people that do massage charge 30, 40 bucks an hour usually. Run a sale and be totally transparent. Transparent means I'm starting my business and I want to help people. And while I'm building my business for the next month, anyone that wants a massage, $15. I know you can afford it. Come out. I'm not saying you should pick 15, okay? But pick a price.
All right.
Don't take a little discount. Pick a price that people that would be hesitant will come.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those people will then come back and be your regular clients at full price because they need to, because their stress keeps coming up. And they say, this is really worth it. But at the moment, there's a lot of people out there that don't know that they would benefit from you. And so if you touch those people and make them feel good, certain ones will come back. And in fact, those people that are grounding you, like let's suppose you raise your prices to 40 bucks an hour, tell them, you know, you helped me start my business. You can come in for 30 bucks an hour for the next 6 months, anytime you want. And because as you are busy, you build an energy, and it attracts more people. There is a mystical aspect to this. It's mystical. And if you've never experienced it, I'll explain it, because I've experienced it many times. And there's that you can put into your consciousness the potential for this mystical aspect to come forth, because it's like you're changing your signal to the universe, and then something switches. Suddenly you're more confident. You're not needy. You're not pleading and feeling empty. You're busy all the time. It's like some of you know, and I may have told this story, but it fits in here, that I would go out and sell sunglasses for a period of my life. And when in the beginning of the day, I was really not upbeat. In fact, I was depressed. I didn't actually want to do it. I used to fight doing it, but I had to do it to make money. So I would say, like, I don't want to be here. No one's going to buy. There we go. I got my clone double here. And so one day I called somebody over, and we would sell these things for $12 or $15. I call a stranger over, and I said, "Hey, I need help. Could you just help me look busy? Just try some of my glasses on." And he thought I was joking, but I was serious. But he would try them on. And then he'd find one that he kind of liked a little bit and say, "I know you weren't looking for a sunglass today, but I got to get my energies going. If you want that sunglass, you can have it for $5. And, of course, the retail was 15. And so he would buy it. I would do that one or two times. And before you know it, my energy was totally full blast. I was no longer feeling like I didn't want to be there. People would start walking up all day, and I would break sales records. You know, Terry used to work with me in those events. She remembers. We would, you know, it was like magic. And it was building an energy. And if I look back at it now, I would say I was building a vortex of energy at that location. And when I got the vortex going, everybody would show up. Everybody would be there. And I know that's the mystical quality of transforming something. And it took me a while to learn it, because there were days when I would sit there and nobody would buy. At the end of the day, I'd have $50, and I spent $75 for the location. And I said, "I'm just no good. Nobody's ever going to buy from me. Everybody's walking by. They see my shadow. They see I don't want to be here. How can I sell to people when I don't want to be here?" Okay? So I had to make myself enjoy being there. Didn't matter whether I made money. It mattered that I started to enjoy it. And as soon as I enjoyed being there, people would spend money. Hand over fist. Okay? And in anything you're doing in the world, that you're starting from nothing, you're building an energy in the non-physical realm. And when you start, there's no energy in it. And as you keep doing it, the energy comes. Like the call we're doing tonight. Those of you that have listened to the calls, I'm sure you can see that I'm a lot different tonight than I was 2 or 3 years ago, and a lot different from 4 years ago. And, you know, first of all, it was scary. I said, what are people going to react to this? How do I approach it? In fact, when we first started doing conference calls, on every call, I would tell the story of my two girlfriends and what happened, because I felt that story lent some credibility. I would never go in to say, here is the message of the Elohim. And I said, how do they know it's the Elohim? My story said, well, maybe there's some people would think maybe there's something really happening with this guy. And I didn't know how to do it. And then it was you people who keep coming back. And I say, hey, this is really benefiting people. And you know what? I can just be myself. I don't have to be an act. And I said, I'm even more interesting when I'm myself than when I'm trying to be somebody, okay?
True.
But you have...
Yeah, that's true.
You know, when you're running a business, when you're starting a business, build to the place where you can be yourself. It may take a while, but it will bring you the best endearment from people, the most returning customers. You know, I remember thinking, I can't do 3 conference calls a week. I'm going to overexpose myself. People shouldn't hear me more than once every 3 months. Well, they're going to get tired of me. And when I would tell the story over and over again on the calls, the people that were coming into the calls that time would say, we're tired of hearing your story. But I would tell it for the new people. Okay, I wouldn't tell it for the people that were coming, because otherwise it becomes like a click. Now, you know what? I don't think we sound like a click on this call. You guys are talking, and we sound like we've grown together. We've learned from each other, because I have learned from you. And and that if someone was listening, it might sound, that sounds like a really neat group of people to get involved with. Because there's no following of me. It's us. And who else wants to say something?
Queen, this is Edna again.
Okay. Go ahead, Edna.
Oh, yes. I was going to say, one other thing I want to share. When we started the team shift, we had all these people that wants to join, and I went every night to the conference call, and some many it was for weeks, and nobody showed up. I was just sitting there and waiting. And I really, really, really want this group to happen. I really want to have the energy going. So, and I kept coming, and eventually one person starts and then another one, and then they felt the energy, and today we have a beautiful group that's very stable.
Mm-hmm.
And we always there for each other. It means my persistence, I wanted that to happen, the energy, and that's helped.
Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. What was that Field of Dreams? Build it and they will come, right?
I just wanted to say congratulations to Kim and Florida with her new business. And Kim, if I lived closer, I'd be down there tomorrow, but I live in Tennessee. I feel like I'm isolated. It's supposed to be denser in this part of the country, and I really believe it is.
No, yeah, well, that's why you're there, because they needed someone that could handle it.
You're welcome, Kim. I know you'll do well.
Wait a second. You know, Kim, I don't know if you're in a team shift group, but I will tell you, if you get into one of those groups and get on the phone every day...
Will I be a millionaire?
What's that?
I didn't say that. I said, why would I be a millionaire? No.
Well, you know, I can't tell what's going to happen, but I can tell you that the more you can keep your energy shifted into higher realms, the more your intentions manifest in this realm in a more clear way. And I know that I've had reports from two people that had houses for sale, and they started coming into team shift every day, and they both sold their houses very shortly thereafter, okay? You see, you're an antenna. Everyone's an antenna. You're an antenna to other realms. And when your antenna is functioning, you're broadcasting a signal to the universe that brings things to you in a magical way. And the challenge is to keep your antenna up there and high. And one of the team shift, for some people, nothing works for everybody, but team shift is a way to help keep your antenna high. Anyone that's listening to this on replays, teamshift.messageofday.net. You know, one of the things about being in a difficult place, and I speak from my experience on this, is when you're in a place where your energies are backed up and you're not charismatic, you don't think you want anyone to see you because of your pride. You want people to see you when you're looking good. And with a lot of people, it's valid to feel that way. It's valid because people will judge you based on how you look, and they'll make opinions of you. And you look bad one day, you know, you have a bad day, and they think that's how you are your entire life. You have a good day, they'll think that's how you are. I remember there were times in my life that I have really good days, and then I didn't want anyone to see me because I said, oh my God, they're going to think I'm always like that. So, you know, this is like navigating in the real world, learning how to work it. But team shift is designed so that you'll be acceptable no matter how you are when you come. And having a group that will accept you as you are, good days and bad days. It's a great tool for speeding up your evolution. So if anyone's listening and they have pride and they say, my life is really screwed up. What do I want to be on a call with a bunch of people when I'm so screwed up? I don't want them to see this. Now, that doesn't mean you're supposed to go on and complain, woe is me, all the time, because that doesn't work either. I mean, there's a whole level of life where the woe is me people bond with each other and always talk about how bad things are, and that's not a way to evolve. That's locking your consciousness into hopelessness and getting a group around you that is hopeless with you. And at least you have some community of hopelessness. So the goal is to take hopelessness and other people give each other support, encouragement, and unconditional love, and that starts to change the hopelessness. That starts to create the healing. Anyone else want to say anything about perseverance?
Hi, this is Jean. I just want to say how wonderful Team Shift is, and I really appreciate all of our group.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Jean.
And you know...
Thank you.
When you want something to change, and you're doing something, you have to persevere till you get to the finish line. You have to know that it's going to change. It may not change in your time. It'll change in God's time. It'll change when you've paid your dues. There's something going on inside everybody that holds them in their positioning. And they have to... What's the word? They have to hold the line. They have to be perseverant. They have to hold to their vision. You know, in the very first 6 months with Daphne, I had asked the question of, I'm not going to remember the whole answer, but I'll remember part of it. I said, when someone hears that there's a shift going on the planet, and they want to make sure they graduate, what should they do? And the first thing was, this was the Elohim, they said, have a vision if that's possible. And the next thing was persistence. And the third thing, I forget. You'll have to go, it's in the Creator Gods of the Physical Universe want to talk to you. And if you want to download that, creatorgodbook.com, if you haven't read it, it's free. And that really took me for a loop when I read that. It took me for a loop because it was so obviously wise, and it made me give a great respect for the source that told me that. Have a vision, persistence, and the third thing, which I forget. The third thing was also part of the wisdom of it. And I said, whoever said that has a lot of understanding of how things work. And anyone else want to share anything? See, this is going for a whole hour. And somebody's going to send me an email and say, Wynn, how come you talk so long? How come you didn't put them on? They used to say that to me all the time. And, you know, I understood. There's a couple reasons why I'm important here, which I recognize. One of them is that I'm sitting here just like you guys. I'm in a human body. I have the same issues you have. I'm not immune from issues. And I can be an example of how to work this. And I am working it. And I am learning. The other thing is that the more we develop a loving energy between us, the easier it is for Terry to bring them through. And also, there's a great protection from negative sources. The loving energy protects us because the negative sources don't come when there's a loving energy. if you're just doing something and you're being recognized, and here is this is things I've learned over time. Here is the Elohim, and, you know, we set the stage, and they're the creators of this realm. You get a lower source. And maybe even a negative source. This is my take on this, okay? And I watched it and observed it, and I'm fairly sure that's true. So, Terry, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Terry?
Yes. Can you hear me?
There is. Does your human side want to say anything?
Well, it does help. It's like some people would like me to start the channel at the start, but it helps an awful lot when Wynn introduces everything and brings in the energy. That helps an awful lot more, even if he talks a whole lot. I just can get in to the space more and more as he's talking.
And you know what? If we closed the show right now, I don't think anyone would be disappointed, because each of us on the line, and, you know, we've had a lot of talking with each other, has played a part of showing their own divine nature in your little contributions. And one of the things about contributing when we do a call like this is that people who are listening can relate to you, and they can relate to the shifts you've gone through and how it works, and it gives them hope. It's not just me and listening to me, because if it only works for me, it really doesn't work. It has to work for more than me. So when you all are going through changes, growing, and sharing those things, you're being a great service to people. But you have to be authentic. You can't just do it to not, you know, some of you are learning that if you jump in and talk, and you don't try to prepare what you're going to say, the right words come through you. One time I did a telephone workshop, and I'm going to probably do this again sometime. It was called the I Am Ra workshop. And were you there?
No.
No. But we went around to each person, and the goal of the workshop was to start talking and say what your high self would say to you if you were getting counsel from your high self. And we created a sacred environment, and we went around, and every person was wiser than you'd ever believe. But they had to jump in that sensor, worry about what they said, how they looked. And suddenly, they were saying it exactly right. Isn't that a neat idea?
Yes, it is.
We'll do that one time again. All right. Well, I'm going to mute everybody, and
all callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
We're going to call in the light, and that's our formal way of invoking a group energy connection, and we're going to get our sources' views on the idea of persistence in order to get where we want to get in this world, and how to do it. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person on this line, and any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. And I add not only for each person on this line, but for each person that's listening to the replays, downloading the replays. We invite those sources. No, we see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through our galaxy, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of the Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection amongst all of us present while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us and create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have a source stepping forward to work with us on the concept of persistence and manifestation?
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. This is 14th of November, 2011. And we are with you on planet Earth on this day. And we greet each and every one of you individually. We are aware of your topic. This is the topic of persistence, of making something happen and endeavoring to stay with it until it is thought forth and manifested. This realm, the third density realm, is slower than the higher realm where we live and operate. In the higher realm, it is easier to manifest. In the third density, time events are slower, and within the third density you have the veil. You have the complex system of molecules making up an object. These molecules to be set in parallel motion to whatever it is you wish to manifest to help bring it about can absorb energy, can absorb the thought processes, can to get set in motion take more time and require more persistence to get it going. As if you were going to start a fire and you needed to have more particles of matter to burn to catch fire before you can get the whole fire going to the extent that you wish. So in the third density, it takes more energy to get everything in alignment, all the molecules, all of the factors in alignment to begin your manifestation. So persistence is very valuable in the third density towards bringing your project into manifestation. Those are our comments.
You know, I recall in the Creator Gods of the Physical Realm book, there was a story of making an omelet, and you start out with an egg, and you have to go through all of the changes that an egg has to go through. You have to crack it, you have to put it in a frying pan, and you have to beat up the milk, and before you know it, you have an omelet. And I think I've been guilty of this, and I'm sure other people have. When you have a vision of something and you can see it happening, it's like, it seems like it's happening in the astral plane, but it's not in the physical. But because it's happening in the astral, you think it's happened, but you haven't cracked the egg. You haven't added the milk. You haven't turned the stove on. So it's really important to go through all the steps and that caused the vision to come about. And maybe you have to write it down on a piece of paper, the steps. But am I correct when I say this, that things happen in the astral when you have a vision, when you're thinking about them, and that it creates the illusion that it's already happened, and then you don't follow it through?
Is that you haven't brought all the pieces together to bring it into the physical universe. In order to get it in the manifest physical universe, you need to build it with pieces of the physical universe. And this is a step that is required for manifestation.
If one has a vision, how can one know that their vision has the potential to actually manifest?
They can look at their experience, at the experience of others. They can use their knowledge of materials, whether the materials are capable of holding up. They can use experimentation to see which way it is best to be put into the physical universe and which ways of doing it will last and survive and be available for the purposes of the thing that one has put together, whether it will work or not. So there's experimentation and there is intuition. that will tell you that this can work.
Thank you. And one of the things in the physical world is your ability to project your own vibrations into the world. And some people have potential, but they have blocks in their ability to project. Maybe they have traumas in their body, and they feel helpless. And they keep, I had this for a long time, so I speak from my own experience. They feel like they can't project in such a way as to reach others. How can one work with that kind of issue if that's something they're experiencing?
Often that is due to childhood experiences where there have been blockages placed upon outward development by parents, or disbelief by parents that the child can bring something into existence. Parents have a great deal to do with weighing on a small child can see his or her potential in the ability to reach out. Many times it was only some block that the parent had that the child then picked up and distorted the capability, the way that the individual looked at his or her capabilities. And if one has this issue, they can begin to cut the corners off it by reaching out a little bit here and a little bit there and trying, and then seeing that indeed they are capable of reaching out and of connecting with others and of bringing things into existence in the manifest world. Sometimes it can be blocks that have come they have experienced from past life experiences, and they bring it into this experience. Belief systems about what one can and cannot do sometimes come in from society, and this makes a big difference in what an individual can do. For instance, one example is a child may come into the world and have abilities and remember things from the past, and the parents say, oh, it's just your imagination. And this then tends to shut the individual down as to what he can observe and what he can bring through. An individual can break out of these locks and blocks that are within the third density and remember his spiritual heritage and increase his or her potential in looking at and having faith in one's own abilities and one's own reaching out, that they can connect, and that they will be, there will be people that are receptive, and to increase thus their reach into the world.
Thank you. Final question. It's my understanding that we have some choice in terms of the parents we come into. And oftentimes, we choose parents that we had past track with in other lifetimes. Why would we pick parents that are going to make our lives, are going to program us in such a way as to make our lives so difficult? Is this an accident, or is it part of the choices we've made in order to have the lessons we need?
This is in part to have the lessons that one needs in order to grow, in that when there are blocks and one has to overcome these challenges, then they can grow in miraculous ways. Sometimes it is an ongoing issue with an entity that one has been with before, and it is the attempt to break through and to be heard by the other person and to reestablish some connection that has been broken in an earlier time. It is a challenge that one takes up to solve a problem or to connect where a connection has been desired in the past but has been blocked in some way. And one continues to work on the problem in this life to reestablish connection and to solve the situation that has been difficult before.
Thank you. Are there times when people, so to speak, make mistakes in this area? Or is it all part of divine flow?
Sometimes an individual may attempt to choose before they come in one family or another family, and it may be a difficult choice. And perhaps the family they pick has been difficult, but then it is all part of the growth that one can experience and the challenges that one can overcome and therefore learn in the third density.
Thank you. Do you have any closing comments before we leave the call?
We sometimes experience sadness in that when we look, we see that the individuals are so separated in the third density, and they did not realize that we are there, their brothers and sisters are there, that the great love is there for them and they have separated from it, but it is available to all. And the thought that it is there, and that one day they may know that it is there and feel the joy of the love. And we know that the whales and the dolphins can feel the love and connect. And we send love to each and every individual out there on the line, on the radio, listening to the audio, reading the transcript. And we are there. And although we end the transmission, we do not leave Adonai.
Thank you. So we will close this call for tonight. And thanks, everybody, who's here and listening. And thank everyone who's volunteering and helping to make sure everything gets out. And we'll see you Wednesday. Send in your questions if you have them. Questions@messageaday.net. And special thanks to Terry.
All callers are muted.
And
all callers are unmuted.
And everybody is unmuted. So
thank you, Terry. Thank you, Wynn. Thanks, Wynn. Thanks, Terry.
Thank you, Terry and Wynn.
You're all very welcome. Thank you all for being here. Who was that? Who was that? Thank you. Oh, well. We'll find out. All right. Bye now.
Thank you. Good night.
You stop conference recording. Your conference recording has stopped.